So what I've done is I've taken a lot of information that all these other esteemed authors have put together, like the mathematical stuff, the size of the stones, the astronomical alignments, where they are in the world, etc., etc. And I provide the last few bits of the jigsaw puzzle to show who these people were, where they came from, where they got their incredible mathematical knowledge, their engineering feats, the incredible strength to construct these things. Not only where they came from, but why they chose the pyramid shape, because the Great Pyramid of Egypt is the focus of my book.
Patrick, I got to tell you, since I was a young boy, I mean, I was fascinated with the pyramids, yet I never believed that they built them conventionally. And when people would say that the Egyptians made them, I always would say to myself, no, there's something going on here. Maybe they were helpers, maybe they were there, but there's some other intelligence behind this, because there's no possible way human beings could move stones like that. You're talking about over, what, 2 million blocks of stone?
Absolutely, from 2 to 2.3 million blocks, and you've hit the nail on the head there. There's no way they could do it. There are many monuments like this right around the world. Engineers admit today that we could not build the Great Pyramid today. We just couldn't do it. I got an email from a guy a couple of months ago who'd read my book, and he was a mathematician. He said they still haven't figured out all the maths incorporated within the geometry of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Let me tell you, for instance, that the mathematical solution to how to square the circle is incorporated within the geometry of the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Okay.
Let me give you a few other little facts and figures about the Great Pyramid while we're on that subject, George, just so your listeners can understand. Originally, the Great Pyramid, it was finished in a polished white limestone, so it would have been impossible to surmount way back some 5,500 years ago in the dim, distant primeval past. It would have been white, smooth, iridescent, gleaming in the morning sun, and some legends say that its apex or its pyramidion was made of gold, right? If it was a skyscraper, it would be 42 stories high, which meant it was the tallest building in the world for millennia. There's enough stone in the Great Pyramid to build a 6-foot wall from New York to Los Angeles.
My God.
Yeah. Each side of the Great Pyramid is an equilateral triangle facing exactly to the true north, south, east, and west to within 0.001 of a degree. The length of the base of each side of the Great Pyramid in cubits is 365.2422 cubits, which just happens to be the exact length of a solar year, including the extra fraction for the leap year. The angle of the slope of the Great Pyramid is 10 to 9. That is, for every 10 feet you go up the side of the Great Pyramid, you rise in altitude by 9 feet. And if you take the height of the Great Pyramid and multiply it by 10 to the power of 9, you get 91,840,000, again, which just happens to be the exact distance from the Earth to the Sun in miles. The Great Pyramid is situated in the exact dead center of the world. It's halfway between the northern tip of Norway, the southern cape of South Africa, the west coast of Mexico, and the east coast of China, and it intersects the 30th parallel, both longitude and latitude. And as I say, the solution to the mathematical problem of how to square the circle is incorporated in the geometry of the Great Pyramid. That's just some of the math incorporated in the incredible engineering.
And Patrick, and I've got to tell you, and I'm so glad you're bringing that up tonight, because a lot of people, a lot of guests we've had will talk about theories of the blocks and who moved them, how they were moved. When you get into the mathematics like you just have, it's absolutely staggering.
Of course it's staggering. It's mind-boggling. And you know, historians, Egyptologists, you know, experts, so-called experts, down through the years have said that the ancient Egyptians are primitive man built these. So we're talking about, you know, guys wandering in the desert dressed in animal skins, somewhere between the Stone Age and the Bronze Age, constructed this incredible pyramid, which engineers admit we could not build today. Yet somehow these same builders and architects had not yet figured out how to invent the wheel.
And they somehow knew the exact distance between the planet and the sun, and they knew everything else.
They knew, but they couldn't figure out how to invent a wheel. Now, that's like saying, George, that if you give a screwdriver to a chimpanzee, he's going to make a television set for you. And let me tell you, not far away from the Great Pyramid, just up the road, in a place called Baalbek in Lebanon, I'm sure you've heard about the temple of Baalbek in Lebanon.
There's a landing pad there, I think.
Well,
or whatever,
but it's got three huge cut-hewn stone foundation blocks, which weigh 800 or 900 tons each. Now, 800 tons is the combined weight of two jumbo 747 jets together, And lying out on the ground not far away is the Stone of the South, which is 1,000 tons weight. That's three jumbo jets together. Now, we don't have a machine today in the world that could pick that up, move it over, and drop it down. Yet again, we're asked to believe, ah, sure, the Greeks with their little hammers and chisels and their little loincloths on them chiseled away and then threw a few ropes around it and dragged it around. It's too incongruous. The point is there is something else going on.
And it happened a long time ago, Patrick.
A long time ago, some 5,500 years ago, as I say, back in the dim, distant, primeval past. So the Great Pyramid of Giza. And by the way, the Great Pyramid of Giza has two shafts. They call them star shafts on the north face and on the south face, pointing at four distinct star signs, Draco, Sirius, Beta Ursa Minor, and Orion. And I've identified three out of the four of these with gods, with a small g, which are mentioned either in scripture or in Roman or Greek mythology or in Egyptian mythology, and we'll come to them later on.
I bet, Patrick, that Zahi Hawass, who heads up the Egyptian antiquities, would not like to hear these theories.
Well, of course he wouldn't, because the Egyptians would like to say that, of course, we built the pyramids. But, I mean, if the Egyptians built them, George, then they must have hopped into boats, sailed over to Mexico and built the pyramids there, because the pyramids in Mexico are very, very similar to the ones that are built in Egypt.
And I would assume that the Egyptians might have been around at that time period, maybe as additional helpers or workers, but I'm not sure anymore. It's very possible, and we're going to get into this with you tonight, Patrick, that after they were constructed and whoever built them, if they left this planet, that area might have been empty for years until the real Egyptians showed up, for example.
Of course there was, and it's the same as what they talk about the Aztecs and the Mayans over in Mexico and Peru, and you look at similar structures over there that are just incredible and phenomenal in Sacsayhuaman and Teotihuacan and Palenque and all these places that they say, oh, the Aztecs and the Mayans. It's similar. If you go to the traditions of the Aztecs and the Mayans, they will always say, oh, you know, bright-haired blonde people came from the skies and constructed these. These buildings were here long before we got here. But, you know, people, science will not agree to things like this, because if you can't put it in a Bunsen burner and heat it up and look at it and examine it, then they just won't accept that there might be something else going on.